First, I'd like to dedicate tonight's shir l'zeicha nishmas two people who were very close to our shul and who did a lot of Torah learning in our shul. Rav Aryeh ben Avram Malter HaKohen, Zichrono Levracha, Larry Cohn, whose levaya was just a couple of days ago. And Larry was a member of our shul since its inception and has certainly attended this shir and every other shir we ever had the opportunity to every time we had the opportunity to share Torah, he was always there. Every minyan, he was always there. So we should be Moshivin Yeshiva Al Kivro, and our learning should be in Aliyah for his neshama, as well as Rav Yaakov ben Avram Abba, Zichrono Levracha, who is the father of my brother-in-law, Avi Eisenberg. And also, every time he visited, he's not a member of our shul, didn't live here, but every time he visited, attended the Daf Yomi Shir, and was always interested in learning a lot of Torah, and it's a very great zuchus to have had them in our shul, and we continue the learning, li'iloi nishmasam. So tonight's topic is sort of brought on by the fact that we've been dealing with, unfortunately, these two tzaros this week, in that I've been having to deal a lot with Hilchos Avelos and Hilchos Aninos. In both of these cases, the relatives were onanim for a long time. In one situation, it was because the patira happened on a Friday morning afternoon where it was too late to be able to do a kvura before Shabbos, so they were onanim for a significant period of time. And the other case, they had to wait for one of the children to arrive from Eretz Yisrael, so also aninus for a long time. And aninus is a funny, nothing funny about it, aninus is an awkward place for a Jew to find oneself, because the halacha is you're not allowed to do mitzvos. You're not allowed to violate los haseis, you're not allowed to violate averos, but you're not allowed to do mitzvos. One is not allowed to do positive mitzvos. And included in that, it would seem, is reciting a bracha, that when one eats food, one does not recite a bracha and one is an onan. My brother-in-law was just telling me last night that it was extremely difficult, that he found himself, you know, when he wanted to eat, he just found himself reciting a bracha just by that, because that's what you do when you eat, by a force of habit. So I wanted to talk a little bit about brachos, and also because I'm going to be learning brachos, Bez Hashem, this summer in Keli Masmidim, in Camp Keli, we're going to be learning a lot about brachos. So I want to talk about the requirement of reciting a bracha before eating, and really what category that should fit in. Meaning, as I just mentioned, an onen is not allowed to do mitzvos, but he's also not allowed to do averos. Meaning, he is still obligated to the averos. An onen can't say, "Oh, okay, so I'll have a cheeseburger for lunch," since apparently it's free for all. No, it doesn't work that way. No cheeseburgers for an onen. It's just that he's not allowed to do mitzvos. Where exactly does a bracha fit in? You know, on the one hand, a bracha is a positive thing. It's a positive statement toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on the other hand, it's forbidden to eat food without a bracha. So it would seem to be a violation of an iser when one eats food without a bracha. So I want to sort of go back and look at the source of the idea to recite a bracha before eating food and try to figure out what the nature of this din is. Is it fundamentally a mitzvah or is it fundamentally an iser? One of the great perks of my current job that I've just completed my first year in Lander College is that every couple of months, the Rosh HaYeshiva, Rav Yonason Sack, comes over to me with a sefer and he says, "Oh, I just wrote another sefer here." So he gives me a copy of the sefer that every couple of months. It's unbelievable. And so he gave me a little while ago the sefer Orchos Yamim on Birchas Hananin. So this is a sefer all on halachos of Birchas Hananin, of brachos that one recites before eating foods. And he his first chapter, which is a pretty long chapter, it's about 20 pages long, a little more, is about this topic. So almost all of the Torah, if not all of the Torah, we're going to be saying tonight comes directly from this sefer. I trust most of you don't have it, so I don't think I'm, probably not being too repetitive. So, although Uriel, you probably did he come to visit Yeshiva? Did he come visit? No, because if he came, then he would have given out a copy to everybody. Okay, that's one of the things he does. Every time he visits the yeshiva, he brings one of his svarim that relates to either the time of the year or the masechta that the yeshiva is learning, and he gives out a copy to all the boys. I didn't have the chutzpah to tell him, but I wanted to say that if he really wanted to impress them, he shouldn't give the same sefer to all the boys. He should, if there are 30 boys, he should bring all 30 of his svarim and give a different one to each of the boys. That would really say something. But anyway, the what is the source for this idea that one recites a bracha? So there are no less than 7 sources in the Gemara itself in Maseches Brachos for how we know that one is supposed to recite a Birch Sananin. If you look in source number 1, the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Taflamet Hayam and Aleph, Minani Mili, how do I know that one is supposed to recite a Birch Sananin? Ditan Rabbah, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, Melamed Shetun Bracha Lefneim Ula Acharehem. That we know that one is supposed to recite a Bracha Achron, the Pasuk says Viachalta, Visavata, Uverachta. How do I know a person is supposed to recite a Bracha Rishona? Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. Hashem, Hilulim plural, that there are multiple praises that one gives to Hashem, apparently before and after. Mikan Amar Rabbi Akiva, Asur La Adam Shiyatam Klum Kodem Shiyavarech. It is absolutely forbidden for a person to eat anything before he eats any food. So what are we doing? Recording a pasuk from Chumash, which if we're trying to figure out, is this din, a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan, the fact that we're quoting a pasuk from Chumash seems to be an indicator that it's a din d'oraisa. Problem is, there are also indications, even in this first line, that we're not dealing with a real d'oraisa. Because if I were to ask you, how do you know that you have to recite a bracha after eating food? So it is not from the pasuk Kodesh Hilulim Hashem. It is clearly from the pasuk V'yachalta V'savata Uverachta. And yet, from Kodesh Hilulim Hashem, we're saying, oh, Lamed, that you need a bracha lifneihem ula achareihem. That's where I learned that you make a bracha l'achareihem. This smacks of a remez, of not really of an asmachta, of not really a drasha mida oraisa. And furthermore, the very follow-up statement, mikanam Rabbi Akiva, based on this, what does Rabbi Akiva say? So I would have said, mitzvah levarich kodem sheyochal, that a person has a mitzvah to say a bracha before he eats. But no, that's not what Rabbi Akiva says. Asur la adam sheyitom klum kodem sheyavarich, that it's asur, he learns an isser from here. An isser, if we were dealing with a daraisa, would mean that we're dealing with a los assay. A los assay in general has to appear, you need one of the following words to appear in the pasuk in order to have a los assay. Hishamer, pen, al, or lo. None of those words appear in this pasuk, so it does not seem that this is a drasha gemura mida oraisa. So we go further in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a braisa. Asula la adam shiana min olam hazeh below bracha. A person is not allowed to get hana from this world without a bracha. V'kalanenim min olam hazeh below bracha ma'al. And if one gets benefit, pleasure from this world without a bracha, he's in violation of me'ila. It's like getting hana from kachim. Maita kante. So how do you fix that problem? Gemara says somewhat oddly, yelech etzel chacham. Go to a Talmud Chacham, and that way you'll fix the problem. So this sounds like almost another religion, the Gemara says. Yelech etzel Chacham, may avidlei. That's not the way our religion works. You do an Aveira, you don't go to a Chacham and get absolved of your Aveira. That's not, no recitations, nothing. We don't do that. So what does that mean? What's the Chacham going to do for you? He can't make your Averos disappear. Havilei Suri, did an Aveira. Go to Hashem, do tshuva. So says Gemara Elo Amarava, Yelech Eitzel Chacham Me'ikara Vilam Denu Brachos. That's the key to so many things in life. The best way to fix a mistake is not to make the mistake in the first place. How does one avoid making the mistake in the first place? Learn. If we go to a Chacham in the first place and we learn as much as we can and we know the proper way to behave, so then you're not going to come Kadesh Lo Yavol Lidei Mi'ila. We're not going to come to a violation of Mi'ila. So still nothing about another source yet. Now we have a pasuk. Where's this pasuk? Tehillim perich avdalid. L'Hashem ha'aretz umloa. That the whole world belongs to Hashem. So if one gets benefit from this world, one gets pleasure from this world without reciting a bracha, he is taking that which belongs to Hashem. And then Rabbi Levi flushes it out by pointing out a stira in two psukim in Tehillim. K'siv l'Hashem ha'aretz umloa, u'k'siv ha'shamayim, shamayim l'Hashem, v'aretz nasan l'vnei Adam. There's a contradiction. One pasuk says that the whole world belongs to Hashem. The other pasuk says, no, Hashamayim, Shamayim LaHashem. But Haaretz, everything down here, Nasan Levnei Adam, that belongs to us. So which is it? Does this world belong to us? Does this world belong to Hashem? Lo kasha kan kodem bracha kan liachar bracha. The whole world belongs to Hashem before we recite a bracha. Once we recite a bracha, now the world belongs to us. So here we have a second source for reciting a bracha before eating food. based on a resolution to a contradiction in Psukim in Tehillim. So if I were to ask you, Doraisa or Dirabanan? So now it's really somewhere in between. This is what we would call Midivrei Kabbalah. It's from Psukim in Nach rather than from Psukim in the Torah. But then the Gemara in Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis goes through many other sources. Tan Rabbanan Minayin Lebirchas HaMazon Min HaTorah. How do I know this is in source number two? How do I know that one recites a bracha after reading? Shneamar V'achalta V'savata V'irachta Zubirchas HaZan Es Hashem Elokecha Zubirchas HaZimun Al Ha'aretz Zubirchas HaAretz HaTov Zubon Yishlayim V'cheinu Amar HaTov Alvanon Shanaslach. It goes through all of the brachos of benching. Says the Gemara on the third line over there. Ein Li Ela Li Acharav Lefan of Minayin. Good, it's clear in the Torah there are psukim that you recite a bracha after you eat. How do I know you recite a bracha before you eat? So Amrit Kal V'chomer. Kishu Saveh Mevarech, Kishu Rav Lo Kol Shekein. If you're going to recite a bracha after you're satiated, after you're full, Kal V'chomer, you should recite a bracha before you're full when you're still hungry. Now, is that a drasha d'oraisa, d'rabanan? What is that? And learning from a Kal V'chomer. So Kal V'chomer, if you go through Rabbi Shmuel Omer, the Yud Gimel Shatar and Drashas Bahad, are all ways to derive Dinim Da'oraisa from the Chumash. Kal V'chomer is definitely one of the ways with which we derive Dinim Da'oraisa. But there are Kal V'chomers, then there are Kal V'chomers. Meaning, sometimes the Gemara says, Tosfos deals with the problem, sometimes the Gemara says an expression, Lama Likra Svarahu. Why do I, or let's do even better, Milsa Da'asti B'Kal V'chomer, Tarach v'kasav lakra. Sometimes it will tell me that that which could be derived from a kal v'chomer, tarach v'kasav lakra. The pasuk says it anyway, even though it could have been derived from a kal v'chomer. And yet, sometimes the Gemara says, no, if it could have been derived from a kal v'chomer, then we wouldn't say tarach v'kasav lakra. The Gemara tells us the Gemara has the expression, lamali kra, Svarahu. Why do I need a pasuk? It's a svara. Kal v'chomer is a very strong form of svara. So svara is that the Gemara says that in a couple of Mabakamim, Sakhsubis, Sanhedrin, Lomeli Kras Svarahu. Why do I need a Kal v'chomer? Why do I need a pasuk? It's a svara. So the way Tosfos resolves the issue, and there's a different shir for a different time in terms of the power of svara and what we can learn from a svara, is that there are different levels of svara. Some svaras are so strong that they can create a din d'oraisa without any question. Some svaras are much weaker. Some kal v'chomers are much weaker and cannot create a din d'oraisa. And some kal v'chomers are maybe somewhere in between, where maybe it would be able to create a din d'oraisa, but we might question it, and therefore tarach v'kasav lakra, we make, just for good measure, we make sure that there's a pasuk there as well. So what kind of kal v'chomer is this? How strong of a kal v'chomer is this one? Now let's assess this kal v'chomer. That if one has to recite a bracha after they eat, kal v'chomer they have to recite a bracha before they eat. How would one assess that kal v'chomer? So first you need to explain the logic, right? What's the logic? It has to, in order to make something kal v'chomer, there's got to be a kal, there's got to be a chomer. In order to explain the logic, you need to explain what's the purpose of a bracha. Meaning, if the purpose of a bracha is to say, that was delicious, then this would be a great kal v'chomer. Because it's much easier to say, that was delicious. Of course you have to say, that was delicious after you ate it, but you don't have to say, that was delicious before you ate it. That would be odd. If you were invited to someone's house, and before you ate any food, you said, that was delicious, then they would know that you're just being polite, and that's not. So, or if the purpose of the bracha, for example, were to be, please give me food, it would make a lot more sense to say bracha before and not after. Obviously, the purpose of a bracha is for neither of those things, then it would be obvious. What is the purpose of a bracha, though? In order to assess this kal v'chomer, it's important to know what a bracha is all about. So let's put that on the back burner. Let's keep that in mind, that we're going to have to figure out what the purpose of a bracha is. Then the Gemara says, Rebbe Yomer Einot Sarach. I have a different drasha. V'yachalta v'svata v'rachta zu berch sazan, avol berch sazim, and it quotes from a different pasuk. Then it says, Lefan of Minayin Tamlomer Asher Nasanach Misha Nasanach. He continues to darshan the pasuk in Devarim Parakhes and has an extra phrase in that pasuk to tell me that you recite a bracha before eating. Sounds like Daoraisa. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer and Tzarech Harei Omer pasuk in Shemos Chav Gimel Uverech Eslach Mechaves Mechal Tikrei Varech Alo Uverech. Vemasai kari lechem kodem shiachlenu, that one should recite a bracha before you eat lechem. Rabbi Nasser Meir Letzarech, I have a different pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. So, wait a second. We just quoted a pasuk in Devarim, a pasuk in, what was the other one from, in Shemos Chav Gimel. And I was saying, no, Eino Tzarech. I don't need those pasukim because I have a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. Eino Tzarech. What do you mean? If you have a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, then you have a pasuk midivrei Kabbalah. I want to see a pasuk in the Torah if I'm going to make a din d'oraisa over here. The impression you get from this Gemara on many levels is that we're not dealing with a din d'oraisa over here. That if this were a din d'oraisa, this whole Eino Tzarech business is odd. Not only that, sometimes when the Gemara has too many answers to a question, it's not a sign of the strength of the halacha, it's a sign of the weakness of the halacha. Meaning, if there were an obvious source for reciting a bracha rishona, we would say the obvious source and that would be it, and then we would see clearly that we have a din that's based on that obvious source. It's only because of the absence of an obvious source that we have seven different opinions of where bracha rishona comes from, which leads you to believe that maybe none of the sources are particularly strong or strong enough to create a real din, mida oraisa. And the Gemara goes on to say other suggestions. Then the Gemara earlier, I skipped it, in source number 3, has an entirely different limud. The Gemara says, Amar Avidu minayin lebirchas hamazon acharei min haTorah. How do I know that you recite birchas hamazon? Okay, that's predictable. V'yachalta v'svata v'rachta. That never changes. Minayin lebirchas haTorah lefanam min haTorah. How do I know you recite a bracha before learning Torah? Ki shem Hashem ekra havagod elelukenu. Also, clear in the Torah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lamanu birchas haTorah lachareh min birchas hamazon mikal v'chomer, u'birchas hamazon lefaneha min birchas haTorah mikal v'chomer. How do I know you recite a bracha before eating food? Kal v'chomer from birchas haTorah. How so? So the Gemara explains a couple of lines later. Uma Torah she'in tol nachareha, tol lefaneha, Torah which does not require a bracha after learning, at least according to the Chumash, does require a bracha before learning. Mazon she'etol ne'achra, food which requires a bracha after eating, eino din she'etol lefanav, all the more so should require a bracha before eating. So that's the Kal v'chomer. So what's that Kal v'chomer? That if you see by Torah, bracha before is more powerful than a bracha after. So if by food, we know the Torah says I have to say a bracha after, Kal v'chomer I have to say before, because before is a more powerful time. How do I know before is a more powerful time? Because the Torah tells me to say a bracha before learning, not after learning. Aside from contradictions that would emerge if I read that entire passage, that we're not going to read right now, the svara is somewhat difficult. That there's a more opportune time, a time that's a stronger time for a bracha, before or after. Again, that all depends on what's the purpose of a bracha. Is it so over here the Gemara doesn't seem to be working with Svar, it seems to be working with a known din. We know that there's a din that you recite a bracha and Torah beforehand, so that sort of sets the default that beforehand is the more opportune time for a bracha. The Vilna Gaon has a shtickle Torah in this Gemara, which again you need to see the whole Gemara in order to appreciate it fully. But essentially what he says is that it really depends, that Torah and food are different from each other. He says it makes the most sense to recite the bracha misvara. The Vilna Gaon writes, I think in Kol Eliyahu, that it makes the most sense to recite a bracha at the time of one's greatest excitement, that the time where one is most energized by the experience. When it comes to Torah and when it comes to food, that time is different. See, when it comes to Torah, the time one is most energized by the experience of Torah is not before one learns Torah. It's afterwards. It's after one has experienced the Dvar Hashem that one feels a sense of excitement and energy. When it comes to food, after eating food, a person's excitement wanes a little bit. You feel the same full or bloated or whatever. You just, okay, so the food is gone. It was here. When is one excited about food? Right when one is about to eat the food. When the food is being served, you're at a restaurant and they're bringing the sizzling steak right in front of you. That's when the greatest excitement is. So the way the Kal v'chomer might work is just within Birch Samazon. If you even have to say a Birch Samazon after you eat food, Kal v'chomer, you would have to say a bracha before you eat. By Torah, you could say the opposite. That if you have to recite a bracha before learning Torah, Kal v'chomer, you have to recite a bracha after learning Torah. And in fact, the Gemara has both of those kal v'chomer. So there may not be an objective best time for a bracha before or after. It really may depend on what it is we're reciting a bracha on. But be that as it may, is the requirement to recite a bracha d'rabbanan d'oraisa, the overwhelming indication is that it's d'rabbanan, and Tosos continuously points this out on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph in two separate Tosos, and we're not going to read them inside. In source number four, Tosos says clearly it's d'rabbanan, all the psukim we're quoting are only an asmachta, and Tosos is pretty confident about that, that it's not a limud gomor, it's an asmachta, it's not a real limud. However, the Rashba in Brachos Nav Mem Chesem Beis thinks that it's Machlokas Tanayim. We quote all these different opinions in the Brises. Some of them are quoting Pesukim in Chumash, some are quoting Pesukim in Navi, some are quoting Svara. So maybe it's Machlokas Tanayim, whether Brach Rishona is Daraisa Drabanan. In Rishonim, as far as I know, we don't find anyone who says with confidence that Brach Rishona is a Daraisa. With the two Shitos are Drabanan or Machlokas. But no one that says with great confidence that Bracha Rishona is Daraisa. There is one Achrum that says with some amount of confidence that Bracha Rishona is Daraisa, and that is the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua, in an unbelievable comment, because it really goes against all of the Rishonim, says, you know, ultimately the real source of Bracha, the Gemara says in Daf Lamed Hei, Maseches Brachos, is a Svara, but a different Svara than the one we quoted before. Ultimately, the Gemara says, Svaruhu, that it's also lehanos me'olam hazeh below bracha, that it's logical that one should not be able to get hana from this world without first reciting a bracha. And says Bnei Yeshua, yeah, that's a very strong svara, and svara is a mechayiv midaraisa. So after all, everything else and all the drushas and everything else falls apart, that svara is a svara midaraisa. How could you benefit from God's world without first reciting a bracha? In fact, the Mashkiach in Lander College, Rabbi Bamberger, is writing a sefer now. He writes these very interesting books. So he's writing a sefer about svarim. I may have mentioned this in a shir a couple of weeks ago. He's writing a sefer about svarim where he essentially put together a list of like the 200 or 250 most important svarim in Jewish history. Which is not an easy list to put together to begin with. I'm sure it could be debated, but he put together a list, I don't know, 250 or so, and he wants to, and he's writing a sefer where each page will be about a different sefer. You know, a little bit about the author, and one shtickel Torah from that sefer that sort of tells you about, you know, either the most famous piece of Torah from that sefer or something that really reveals something about the author of the sefer or about his style of learning. It's a fun game to play. If you're ever sitting around with learned people, you throw out Igris Moshe. Give me the one. The one? How do you get the one Igris Moshe that typifies? So he actually used the one I gave him, so I'm very proud. But I mean, some of them are obvious. But when it came to Pnei Yeshua, so I said, you have two choices, right? You have either the Hakdama, where he talks about how he started writing because his house burnt down and he was caught under the rubble as the house was burning down. And he said, Ribono Shalom, if you save me from this, I'll start writing Torah. And that's why we have a Pnei Yeshua, because he came through. And or this Pnei Yeshua, the Pnei Yeshua about Bracha Rishona being Daraisa, because it's like a Chiddush La'alacha that's unbelievable. It's against all the Rishonim. Okay, but what I really wanted to talk about tonight was the exact nature of the bracha. So on the one hand, we have that it's aser to be toim kodem sheivarech, that it's aser to eat, to taste anything before you say a bracha, which makes it sound like, if you say that it's aser to have, it's me'ila, you're violating la Shem Aratum Lo, it's God's world. So what we're dealing with is a lo sase, it's an iser, meaning it's not a lo sase because it's not a daraisa, but meaning it's an iser midrabanan, that you're not allowed to get the hana. So what function does the bracha serve? The same function it would serve if I wanted, to borrow this nice shender over here. So it's very easy for me to be able to borrow that shender. All I have to do is ask the owners. That's what we call netilas rishos. Get permission and then you can use it. Without that netilas rishos, you can't use it. That's stealing. In order to avoid the problem of stealing, so you ask permission. So the bracha would be netilas rishos. The nature of the isser of eating without a bracha is an isser. It would be a violation, a lo saseh, so to speak, midrabanan. Or the other possibility is, especially if you learn that it's based on the kal v'chomer from birchas hamazon, so birchas hamazon, meaning benching after, is certainly not netilas rishos, right? That's definitely not netilas rishos, because it's too late. That's against all the normal social rules to steal someone's things, use them, and then say, "Oh, by the way, would you mind if I use it?" "Oh, good, because I did." You know, that's not, you're not supposed to do that. So Birchas HaMazon is obviously not Nitzil Shus. What's Birchas HaMazon? It's Hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's thanking Hashem that He gave you a delicious meal. If you're going to learn the requirement of Bracha Rishona from Birchas HaMazon, you can say, "Oh, if I have to make a bracha after I eat, then I got Kal V'chomer, I have to make a bracha before I eat." So then it has to be the nature of Bracha Rishon is the same as Birchas HaMazon. That it's Hoda'a, which means it's a positive mitzvah to recite a Bracha because you're giving Hoda'a to Hashem. So those are the two possibilities. And in fact, these two possibilities play a critical role in the rules of Brachos. Rabbi Kiveger, in his comments to Tosos in Maseches Brachos and Dafi Bezo Mir Aleph, holds that... he explains that you could, the unique shita of the Ri Bala Tosfos based on this. The Ri, if you look in source number 7, in Tosos, Lola Asuyinama, Pirish Rav Alphas, Hashtado of Shita Bayan Azlina Nukula, Ashailin Hilchos Brachos. So the Rif says, what do you do when you have a suffix in Hilchos Brachos? Lukula, you don't say a bracha. Vafilu Pasu Chamra Vesim Meshichra Yatza. Viri Haya Omer Luchumra? A situation where you're not sure if you have to say another bracha. The details are not so critical for us right now. It's where you're holding one kind of drink, you thought you were holding a different kind of drink, you started a bracha thinking that drink, and then you look down in the mid-bracha. A complicated story. So there's a lot to talk about that story, but not for now. A complicated story. At the end of the day, the Gemara doesn't resolve the issue. Were you yotze with the bracha that you said or not? So normally, Safik Brachas LaHakel. So that's Rav Alphas. That's the Rif. That makes a lot of sense. But the Ri Bala Tosa says, no! If you're not sure if you yotze the Bracha or not, you have to recite a Bracha again. Safik Brachas L'Chumra. Why? Why would you say, the rule throughout Hilchos Brachas is always Safik Brachas LaHakel. Why would you be Machmir? So Rabbi Kiveger explains, what may be the Machlokas between the Rif and the Ri is what the nature of the requirement, say, a Bracha is. If it's a netilas rishus, which means that it's osur to eat without a bracha, you're dealing with a suffik iser. By a suffik iser, we're going to go l'chumra. But if it's hoda'ah, it's a requirement to give hoda'ah to Hashem, then you're dealing with a suffik mitzvah, so you don't want to risk a bracha levatala. Because you're going to say a bracha, it's going to be a bracha levatala if you're only trying to be notel Rishus. And the Meiri has a very, very similar idea. In fact, the Meiri explains that this may be the explanation of Gemara Baba Kama Daf Tzadi Dalit. The Gemara Baba Kama Daf Tzadi Dalit is in source number 10. The Gemara tells us what happens if the following. Haresha Gazal Sa Shalchitin. Person steals some wheat. Tachana, Lasha, Rafa. He does what you do with wheat in order to turn it into bread. He grinds it. He kneads it. He bakes it. V'hifresh mimena chala, big tzaddik. After he stole the wheat, he's going to do afrashas chala on the wheat. Ketzad mevarech. So do you say a bracha on afrashas chala? Says the Gemara, ein ze mevarech ala mena'etz. You don't say a bracha, that's mocking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to say a bracha to Hashem after you violated an iser in order to secure this that you're saying a bracha on? Ein ze mevarech ala mena'etz. Says the Meiri, yeah, that's as far as a birchas ha-mitzvah goes. Let's say you want to eat the bread. Would you recite Amotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz? So the Miri says, yeah, you would recite Amotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. But the Miri says, Yesh Cholkin, not everyone agrees with me. Who is the Yesh Cholkin? Who's the not everyone? The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam, source number 12, Hilchos Brachos, Parakhas, Alachid Beis. Kala Brachos Eilim, Nestapik Lebem, Embirach, Lebirach, Enochos, Embarach, Lebechiv, Besov. No, sorry, I got the wrong Rambam there. Mesha Inter Besofrim. The Rambam is the one that says, that is the Yesh Cholkin who holds that one does not recite a bracha. What's the machlokas about? It could be that the Meiri understands that we're dealing with a los asei of stealing when you eat without reciting a bracha. So just because you violated one aver and stealing from another person, why violate another aver and stealing the hana'ah that you're getting from Olam HaZeh below bracha? So that wouldn't make sense. So say the bracha. But if it's a hoda'at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you thanking? Thank you, Hashem, you gave me this. I didn't give it to you, Hashem will say. I gave it to that guy. You stole it from that guy. Don't go thanking me for something that you stole for that guy. If it were a din in Hoda'ah, then you wouldn't say a Birchas Hananin either. In fact, when the Gemara comments, when the Gemara has this line, that a person who recites a bracha, who eats without reciting a bracha, is gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's considered as if he stole from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a Gemara in source number 14, Gemara in Brachas Tav Lamed Hei, that someone who kolan enem omos abla bracha ki gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael. It's as if he stole from Hashem in Knesset Yisrael. What did he steal from Hashem? Without seeing any Rishonim. You eat without a bracha. So you stole from Hashem, the Gemara tells you. What did you steal? What have you stolen? Didn't steal any money. What did I steal from Hashem? Right? How do you read the Gemara? What's the Pasha Pshat? I want to see it. Because I read it one way, and then you look at Rashi and says something entirely different. I go, I have my sandwich without reciting a bracha. What did I steal? Come on. What did I steal? The sandwich, right? No, from the sandwich. Right? That's what I stole. That's the obvious thing to say, right? I'm not crazy here, right? If you're telling me that if I eat the sandwich without a bracha, I've just stolen, it means I've stolen the sandwich, right? Says Rashi, Gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Es Birchaso. Rashi, source number 15, two words. Es Birchaso. Could have been one word. Birchaso. What did you steal from Hashem? His bracha. You owed him a bracha and you stole it from him. Why not just say I stole the sandwich from him? I thought the whole point was that everything belongs to Hashem, and if I don't say a bracha, I'm stealing that which belongs to him. No, it's not that you stole the sandwich, he doesn't care about that. You stole the bracha. Why not say that you stole the sandwich? What Rashi, and in fact the Marsha says, what a strange pshat, why would Rashi say that? Marsha says, of course you stole the sandwich, you didn't steal. Stealing a bracha, what does it even mean to steal a bracha? Oh, but here's what it means. If the yesod of the requirement to recite a bracha is that it's called that you're stealing from God without, you're stealing the hana'ah, the benefit, the pleasure, and it's netilas reshus, you need permission to use God's food, to use God's world. So then you stole the sandwich. That would be what the Marsha holds. But if you hold that bracha is thank you, bracha is a praise that you owe Hashem, not that the food belongs to him and he's waiting for you to get netilas reshus to use the food. It's a hoda'ah that I owe Hashem. It's more positive. So then, what I stole from Hashem is the hoda'ah that I owe to him. I didn't give him the proper hoda'ah. So maybe machlokas Rashi and the Marsha. And Rav Asher Weiss points out in Minchas Asher and Devarim that this Rashi and the Marsha are actually the Shitasam. Because there's another machlokas Rashi and the Marsha in the Sugya and Daf Nun Aleph. Sugya and Daf Nun Aleph is in source number 18. Bomi Nemirat Chista. Let's say a person ate, drank, didn't say a bracha, but you already ate and drank. What do you do now? Should you recite a bracha? Look at Rashi. Well, no, don't look at Rashi. You have a sandwich. You ate it. You didn't say a bracha. The Gemara says, what do you do now? What's the case? Did I eat the whole sandwich? Or did I eat only half the sandwich? What's the Gemara asking about? Meaning one of those things is obvious and the other one the Gemara needs to ask a question about. What's the case that the Gemara is asking about? Where I ate half a sandwich and I want to know, do I say a bracha now? Or I ate a whole sandwich? So you would think, say, why? Because if I ate half a sandwich, then obviously you've got to say a bracha on the other half. The Gemara's answer is, Amar luhu, misha achal shum reich anodev, yachsev yachal shum achak, deshe reich anodev. What kind of question is that? Obviously, if you did something wrong, don't do another Aveira, do something right. Now, from the question, it would sound like it has to be they ate the whole sandwich. From the answer the Gemara gives, it sounds like you obviously ate half the sandwich, because the Gemara is saying, why would you repeat the same Aveira? You did an Aveira by eating half the sandwich out of the bracha, don't repeat the same Aveira and eat the other half of the sandwich without a bracha. So which case we're talking about exactly is actually another machlokas, Rashi and the Marsha, where Rashi writes that we're talking about you ate the whole sandwich. And the Gemara is saying, you ate the whole sandwich, does it still make sense to say a bracha? The Gemara's answer is, just because you didn't make a bracha before, why should you continue to be in violation of the Isser and not at least say it now? At least you have an opportunity now, say it now. Which is unbelievable. The Gemara's answer would be that after I finish eating the whole sandwich, I have nothing else to eat. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz. After. Whereas the Marsha says, no, you ate half the sandwich. And we're asking, should I say a bracha on the other half? And the answer is, of course you should. Because you shouldn't eat the other half without a bracha. But once you finish the sandwich, what, you're going to go back and say a motzi? That makes no sense. Says Rav Ashwais, what are they arguing about? What is a bracha about? If a bracha is about netilas rishus, I need permission from God to be able to get anah from this world without a bracha, to get anah from this world, it's a little late if I finish the entire sandwich. It would make no sense to say a bracha after I finish the entire sandwich. That would be the marsha, right? That would make no sense once I already finished the entire sandwich to recite a bracha. But if it's about, not netilas rishus, it's about hoda'ah, thanking Hashem, so sure, it makes plenty of sense to recite the hoda'ah that I forgot to say thank you beforehand, to say thank you afterwards. You know, your child receives a gift from someone, and he forgets to say thank you right away. So what do you say? Say thank you now. It's not too late. It's a little late, but it's not too late. You could still say thank you afterwards. So says Rav Ashi Weiss, maybe this is Marsha and Rashi, l'shita sam. In fact, the Emek Bracha suggests that both are true. It has to be that these are two elements to the requirement to recite a bracha. That there is a requirement to recite a bracha to give hoda'a to Hashem, but there's also this element of iser, that you're not allowed to benefit from this world without a bracha. And this may explain a lot. For example, the Emet Bracha in source number 22, skip to the last paragraph of source number 22, at the top of page 7, says the Emet Bracha, Ach b'zeh ani mistapek. He says, I'm not sure about the following. Im bala mashka pachos mikashir, im chayev levarich alav habracha delefanav. Let's say you drank less than a shir. Do you need to say a bracha rishona? Meaning, as follows. Let's say I eat less than a kezayis. Do I recite a bracha rishona? Answer, yes. No matter how little you eat, you recite a bracha rishona. Why? Which chiyuv of bracha makes sense on less than a shir? Is it the chiyuv of hoda'a or the chiyuv of netilas rishus, of getting permission, of asa lehanos me'al mazah b'lo bracha? Well, let's see. The chiyuv of hoda'a, where do I derive that from? From birch samazon. I only recite birch samazon if I eat a shir. So the chiyuv of hoda'a is only going to be in play if I eat a full shir. There's no requirement to recite birch samazon with less than a shir, so any requirement that's derived from birch samazon is not going to apply when you eat less than a full shear. But netilas rishus, to get permission from Hashem before I benefit from His stuff, how much are you allowed to steal? Are you allowed to steal less than a shavu putu? No, you're not allowed to steal anything. So netilas rishus, even on the tiniest amount, I need netilas rishus. But netilas rishus is only if you're getting hana'a. Asa lehanos melam azabla bracha. What if you eat in such a way where you're not getting hana'a? So hoda'a, maybe yes. Bala, right? You swallow it in a way where you're not getting any hana'ah. Hoda'ah? Maybe yes, but if I have less than a shir, there's no hoda'ah. If there's no hana'ah, then there's no netilas rishus. So there may be, right, with chab and afkamin, you have to come out, try to come up with cases where one would apply and the other won't apply. Okay, you can raise the following question. There are several gemaras in Maseches Brachos that talk about situations where a person is allowed to eat without reciting a bracha. One is the example that we started with, an onen. Why does an onen get to eat without reciting a bracha? If both of these dinim are true, then it makes no sense. Meaning both elements of bracha are true, the iser and the mitzvah, hoda'a, the mitzvah of hoda'a, and the iser that demands a netilas rishus, it makes no sense that an onen should not have to make a bracha. Why? Because as we said, an onen is allowed to forego mitzvahs, but he's not allowed to violate isurim. So good, so he doesn't have to do hoda'a. But he better ask permission before he steals something. So why does an onen not have to say a bracha? But it's not only an onen. The Gemara tells us, by the way, onen is a little bit of a misnomer. When we use the term onen, when the Chumash uses the term onen, it's talking about a din kachim. that an onin is not allowed to eat kachin. The halachas that we refer to as an onin, Chazal already, in Shulchan Aruch already, and Chazal already used the term aninus, but it's really misha mesa muta lefanav. Right, it's a separate halacha called Misha Mesa Muta Lefanav, that someone who has a body that they have to take care of, a relative that they have to take care of. But anyway, it's not the only case. You also have Poalim, who are Osim Melachos Balabayis, that Meikar Adin, they don't have to recite a bracha. A Balkeri, someone who has Tumas Keri, Eino Mevarech, doesn't have to recite a bracha. I understand we're going to patru these people from a mitzvah, but to allow them to do an Isser? How could we allow them to do an Isser? So Rav Sacks suggests the following idea. In many cases, we find that there's a relationship between a mitzvah and an Isser, that there's a connection between a mitzvah and an Isser, where they affect each other in a profound way. For example, the Gemara in a couple of places refers to the Isser of doing Malacha on Shabbos and on Yom Tov as an Aseh and a Los Aseh. That it's both an Aseh and a Los Aseh. There's a Los Aseh, you're not allowed to Shomer Yom HaShabbos, and an Aseh of Shvisa. That we have to be Shoves on Shabbos. Like an active, positive thing to be Shoves. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Gimel, gives examples. Mitzvahs asay that are not time bound and therefore women are chayiv in them. And the Gemara gives examples like building a makkah on your roof, returning an aveda, shiluach hakein. You know what all three of those things have in common? They're not only mitzvahs asay, they're also mitzvahs los asay. Hashavas aveda l'sucha l'salim. You're not allowed to hide your face from it, you have to instead return it. Shiluach hakein also is a los asay. Losika chayim alabanim. Maka, lo sasim damim beisecha. They're all los asays. And yet the Gemara gives them all as examples of mitzvah asay shelo asman grama, which makes it sound like if only they were zman grama, women would be pater from them. What do you mean women would be pater from them? Women are not pater from los asays. What is this about these mitzvos that are somehow both an asay and a los asay simultaneously? So the Ramban develops a yisod. We're really making a long story short over here, but the Ramban develops a yisod where he suggests that sometimes a mitzvah is fundamentally an asay, but the los asay is just there to give a little bit of chizik to the mitzvah's asay. I mean, if I were to ask you, mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda, is that really a positive mitzvah or is it a negative mitzvah? So fundamentally, of course it's a positive mitzvah, I'm supposed to return something. But just to put some teeth to it, you're not allowed to not return it. You know, we make it a don't also. But the los asay is just there to support the asay, and therefore, anyone who's pater from the asay would automatically be pater from the los asay. They would go hand in hand. The mitzvah of building a maka al gagecha. Well, maybe that's not such a great example. Mitzvah of, whatever the mitzvah, it could be, if you look carefully at the Rishonim, and, we're not going to really have time to really flesh it out properly, but if you look carefully at Rishonim, it could be that there are some mitzvahs where they're fundamentally a los asay, and the asay is there to strengthen the los asay, and some are fundamentally an asay, and the los asay is there to strengthen the asay. So when it comes to a bracha, we understand the onin, the poel, the balkari, all these people that don't have to recite a bracha. Because you're right, it's true that a bracha is both a positive and a negative. It's an isur lahanas melam azabla bracha, you need netilas rishus, and it's also hoda'a, chiyuv of hoda'a. But maybe it's fundamentally a chiyuv hoda'a. And the Isser is a function of that Chiyuv Hoda'ah. That we have such a great responsibility to give Hoda'ah to Hashem, when we fail to do so, Hashem considers it as if we're stealing without asking Rishus. But one who's not Chayiv in the Chiyuv Hoda'ah is Memela not Chayiv in the Isser either. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach says this way, this is like a Shtickel Torah that a number of Achronim suggest. Or for example, the Mitzvah of Tzedakah. The Rambam lists both an asay and a los asay, right? Tosfos Maseches Ksuba says there are two lavin by tzedakah, that there's two separate isurim in the Torah. Yet the Gemara tells us that if a person is in the middle of doing a Shavas Aveda and an ani comes and asks for tzedakah, you're pater. Why? Because osig mitzvah pater mitzvah. So we call pruta d'Rav Yosef. Osig mitzvah pater mitzvah. Wait. Osig mitzvah pater mitzvah paters me from doing mitzvah sasei. Paters me from doing los sasei. There are two los sasei's in tzedakah. How does it pater me from los sasei's? Because those los sasei's are clearly a function of the assay. Tzedakah is fundamentally an assay, clearly a function of the assay. Many other examples, eating before davening, the mitzvah of sukkah, many, many other examples, and there are many other nafkaminas as well, but we're out of time now. It's a much bigger topic than we had an opportunity to. We just scratched the surface. But, okay.